Let's head over to Austin. State Senator Charles Swertner joins us. Good morning, Senator. How are you today?
I'm doing great today, Scott. Good morning.
Let's go back to last week. You had a couple of bills passed unanimously in the Senate having to do with nursing homes and the care for the people who live there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yes, that's obviously been an issue of high priority of mine over the years. Last session I passed the three strikes bill that would remove the license of a nursing home operator that had repeated violations over a one-year time frame that put residents in immediate jeopardy of harm or death. This is a continuation of that issue. I think we need to be very clear and unambiguous that we're serious about protecting our citizens that are most vulnerable, children and elderly adults, from abuse and neglect. And so this bill basically changes some of the provisions about how nursing homes can correct certain violations. It's called a right to correct provisions, and strengthen those provisions. Also puts in place progressive sanctions and stiffens financial penalties that are assessed on bad actors.
Emergency options for health care options for people now are popping up every place across Texas and all over America. And you've introduced a bill. It's Senate Bill 1592. Kind of explain what that's supposed to do to help out consumers.
Yes, you're referring to freestanding emergency rooms?
Right.
Yes, yeah, that's a new entity that's been around maybe 7 to 10 years, but they are growing exponentially. And unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion amongst citizens about whether or not they're going into an urgent care clinic or a freestanding emergency room. And so I've passed laws, our bills are now law regarding disclosure that, hey, we are not a urgent care clinic and that we charge like emergency rooms. The bill that you spoke of is a bill that puts these freestanding emergency rooms, and they like to be called emergency rooms, and they bill like emergency rooms, on the same level as hospital emergency rooms regarding their penalty structure and the way they are assessed regarding violations. So, you know, you claim yourself to be an emergency room, you need to be evaluated and penalized and fines assessed for violations like an emergency room.
Now, you say evaluated. Does that mean that you believe the state needs to come in before these facilities open or while they're in operation to understand their practices?
Well, there is a process when they get a license for them to be evaluated prior to opening. That's by the Department of State Health Services. But there's also follow-up when there are complaints that arise by individuals that have care there. Those complaints are evaluated, and inspectors can go into that facility, evaluate it, and decide whether or not there are certain violations that occurred. And if so, there are certain penalty structures that can be assessed.
State Senator Charles Swertner joining us from Austin. On Friday, the Attorney General issued a non-binding opinion having to do with the accounting practice that the Senate would like to put into the budget that would transfer $2.5 billion on a different date than it was originally intended. He came down on the side of the Senate. Your thoughts there?
Well, you know, I think it's very correct. Now the comptroller has spoken, and the Attorney General has weighed in and confirms that the sales tax transfer over to transportation, as envisioned under Proposition 7 that was ratified by the people a couple of years ago, is constitutional. I think it always was. It's just, you know, this is somewhat politics and positioning between the House and the Senate. So now we can go into conference committee with a full understanding that the proposals on the table are valid on both sides, and, you know, we need to find a way forward to pass a balanced and responsible budget that is funded appropriately by our revenue that we have, as well as any sort of accounting maneuvers that are anticipated by either the House or the Senate.
And speaking of that conference committee, you are one of five senators that are on that. I know you're pleased with that selection. This is the second time that you've been there. We talked a little bit before about what that process is, but if you could kind of explain once again to our listeners, now the process begins, and how does that process happen behind closed doors?
Right. There are 10 members. There's five from the House and five from the Senate. You have the chair on both sides, but the four other members are responsible for certain portions of the budget. In my case, I'm responsible for the Health and Human Services portion, which is 40% of the budget. That's called Article 2. I have a counterpart on the other side, Chair Davis, Sarah Davis from Houston, and actually I worked with her last session, so we did this together last session as well. But we actually sit across from a table from one another, and there's 15, 20 people that are in the room, and we discuss the differences between the two budgets and hammer out the differences between the House version and the Senate version, discussing the particularities of whatever issue is brought forward regarding the differences.
Now, when that discussion is done, do you turn the page, that's it, you make a decision on that, then you move on to another portion of the budget, or do you have a couple of balls going in the air at the same time?
Well, there's lots of balls regarding Article 2 that are in the air, but we try to get as many of them taken care of as between the two of us as possible. There are some still items that then, if they're not able to be decided between Chair Davis and myself, we have discussions with the chair of the Finance Committee, Chair Nelson, as well as Chair Zerwas of the House Committee, to really hammer out the differences, the final kind of sticking points between the two of us. So that happens in every article. Our goal, obviously, is to present a work product to the chairs that is as finalized as possible.
How often
each article does, each one of the four articles or four work groups, hammers out those differences, and then it's all tallied up. And it takes about, 2 weeks or so to get through this process.
And how often does the committee meet, and then how long are those meetings generally?
Well, we're working in between our committees, and I'm chair of the Health Committee, and, with the floor proceedings, and we're laying out bills in other committees and presenting them on the floor. So it's varied. Sometimes you meet early in the morning. Sometimes you meet for an hour or two in the afternoon, and oftentimes you start late in the afternoon and go into the evening. It is completely random as far as when you meet.
So
we do it when we can, and obviously we're under a time crunch to not only do the reconciliation between the two budgets, but also get our bills passed on the floor and show up to committee and participate and lead a committee in my case. It's a very challenging time frame right now.
And as you say, if you finish on time, you got 34 days max to get this
thing
done.
34 days.
Yeah. All right. What else comes to the floor of the Senate this week that would be of import for us?
Well, actually a real important bill I'm about to lay out in education is the UIL bill. And, I think it's we have great athletic and academic facilities in Texas that are not located in Austin, that are located across the state and, of course, in the Brazos Valley and Texas A&M. And, these are world-class facilities. And the UIL is based on the UT campus. And unfortunately, I think they've kind of gotten favored nation status regarding some of the larger UIL events, track and field and, baseball and softball. And what I'd like to see is more of a even playing field and a request for proposal type of selection process that takes into account the strengths and assets of the various universities and localities across the state. So I hope to get that moving in education and get it over to the House.
We'll look forward to that. State Senator Charles Schwertner joins us Tuesdays. You can hear the entire interview archived on the website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. You have a great day.
All right,
take care.